We can operate in two ways, can't we? Fear or faith. Fear is not a bad thing. Paul had fears within and fears without. The Apostle Paul. I'm talking about the Apostle Paul. He had fears within and fears without. The thing is, we don't allow fear to dominate us. What we do, we walk by and activate faith, which is the opposite of fear. Amen. So, God is coming back for a people that will operate in faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to what? Please God. So we need to operate in faith. Faith is the substance of things, the evidence of things not yet seen. Amen. You don't need faith when you see it. You need faith when you can't see it. Amen. So believe your God for the supernatural. Believe your God for the impossible. Believe your God, He's a can-do God. I want to encourage someone with that this morning. He is a can-do God. He'll do it in His timetable and in His will. Amen. And for your good. If it is not for your good, He will not do it. No matter how much you plead with Him, no matter how much you cry and stomp your feet, He will not do it. He will only do it if it's for your good. Amen. Because He loves you. And He loves me. He loves everybody. He's no respecter of persons. Hallelujah. Well, I have a great lady come to minister the word of God, my daughter in love, come to minister the word of God this morning, our Tamsin. So can we just welcome her to the pulpit this morning?
I always feel a bit bad sometimes because you come expecting Pastor Dave and then it's like, surprise, it's me. But it's okay. I'm totally fine. All right. Well, good morning, guys. I'm very privileged to be here this morning. And I do love doing it, even though I get extremely nervous. But so I'm just going to start in prayer. God, I thank You for this time that we can have here together. Thank You that we can come together as a group of believers and that we don't have to have fear. Thank You that You are working amongst us. Thank You that You are for us, not against us. And I pray that this message will touch some people and it would just give us strength for the rest of the week and for the year. Amen. I did forget one thing. I just need to... it's not a prop, but it's just my drink bottle. But it's kind of a prop. Anyways, so I don't know if you guys have seen those Instagram reels at the moment that are going around everywhere. And it goes, I'm a preacher's son. Of course I know every word to the songs, you know, that kind of thing. Well, that's how I'm starting this morning. I'm preaching on Sunday. Of course my floor is so clean you could eat off it. I'm preaching on Sunday. Of course I vacuumed my car, made a youth calendar, finished my year one and two programs, practiced piano every day this week. Washing is up to date. We did some work in the backyard yesterday. Of course. So sometimes we can do this with God. We know that reading the Bible is so important and it should be one of our top priorities to get filled with His word, filled with the truth so that when the world bombards us with lies, we can see through them with that discerning spirit that's inside of us so we can know the difference between right and wrong. But instead, we might say, okay, I'm just going to go for a quick walk because, you know, walking's healthy as well. I need to, you know, keep up, you know, the looks and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I'm just going to go for a quick walk before I read my Bible. And then when you come back, it's like, okay, I'm just going to quickly do my programs because God gave me this job and I need to, you know, be showing Him that I love my work and all that kind of stuff. I'm just going to do that first and then I'll read my Bible. Oh, I need to do the church roster. The kids' church roster, because if no one's upstairs, ooh, the looks we're going to get when the kids are, you know, running amok, I've got to do that as well. So sometimes we can do that, and I'm so good at doing it. And so this week that's coming up, I'm going to be so unproductive, so please don't come to my house. Here's another one. I'm preaching on Sunday. Of course my kids annoyed me getting ready for church this morning. I woke up with a sore throat and I sound a bit like a man. I felt overwhelmed by little things and even annoyed by smaller inconveniences. Have you ever felt that when you make a resolve in yourself to do something, okay, I'm going to read my Bible every morning. I'm going to wake up early and that's what I'm going to do. That's when, you know, everything starts to go wrong. Your alarm doesn't go off the first morning. So then, you know, now you're a little bit late for school and quickly, quickly, everyone get ready and I'll do that later, I'll do it later. The next morning, one of your kids was up sick the night before. So then, you know, the next morning, oh, I'll just have a sleep in because I'm really, really tired. I can't do it right now. The next night, your husband snores all night long and you wake up and you're like, oh, I can't. No, not this morning, tomorrow. And then the next morning, you forgot that there was early basketball practice in the morning. Now everyone's rushing to get out the house and you go, it's okay, I'll start again next week. Maybe it's just me, but I feel like there's a few of us. Even when we had our 8 o'clock prayer times, remember when we were doing those? Oh man, for the first week we were so good. We set alarms on our phone and everything. 8 o'clock, let's pray. Then you miss one, you miss two, and then you're like, I'll get there later. Because, you know, things happen. And it's just these little things. So sometimes the thing that I know needs the most attention or is the most necessary, if it's, you know, time-wise or it's just my priority, I'm talking about myself, I'm very good at pushing that aside and doing the less important things like cleaning my windows. And now I knew that there was a word for this. I thought, it can't just be me, there's got to be something. So I Googled it, of course, and I found this psychology page and I thought, oh, I like that. And it was talking about Newton's third law of motion. It says, when one body exerts a force on a second body, the second body simultaneously exerts a force equal in magnitude and opposite in direction on the first body. Well, let's change the word body for desire. For every desire that we have for some form of change in our lives, there's the corresponding degree of resistance to that change. Even though the change is going to be positive and there's going to be huge improvements coming from it, that resistance will be there. And as Christians, we know that's our flesh fighting against our spirit. Now, a few weeks ago, or probably like a month or just over a month ago, I just had this. And I don't usually get visions and stuff, so when I got it, I was like, we'll think about that one for a little bit. But I had this, I don't know if it was a vision or just a thought, but I saw the enemy like prowling around, and you know how he prowls. He doesn't do it, you know, out in the open. He's just very, very sneaky about it. And he was going around and shaking people's pockets. And when he heard nothing, he would just move on to the next person. But if you heard a jangle, he was like, ooh, there's something there. There's something there that is not fitting quite right. And that's what I'm going to start attacking. And then he'll start to dig. And he'll find that thing that's not fitting quite right. You know, maybe someone had a harsh word with you last week at church. Maybe someone just had a throwaway comment of, oh, you're looking a little bit tubby today. And you've really taken that on board. And now you don't want to come to church this week because you think, well, that person's going to be there again and I don't want to see them. And the enemy is using that kind of stuff. Has anyone been feeling like an attack on marriages, friendships, family relationships, finances, health? He's very sneaky at what he does. So there's no, for us, we're so lucky, there's no like bombs and obvious signs of destruction here right now. But he's using those little signs of, you know, distractions to take our eyes off him. So he comes with things like our relationship with God, our walk with him, our prayer time. And when he starts to attack them, he's going to shift our main focus off of God. We start having an attitude, you know, we can't be bothered seeing that person because, oh, it's just too hard. I feel like most Sundays our kids always fight in the back seat and I'm going, but we're on our way to church. Stop fighting. And then you get to church and you're like, yay, holy, holy. And slowly but surely, he's trying to work on those pieces. So we've got to make sure that there's nothing loose. We've got to make sure that we don't hold on to those things, because he will start to just, you know, twist them, turn them a little bit more, try and break them off a little bit more. I've been talking to my kids about keeping short accounts. You know, don't go to bed angry. Jackson, don't go to bed angry. Your sister didn't do it on purpose, you know. Now, I've got a couple of scriptures today, but I didn't put them up because I thought it's good for us to get into our word. So can you please look up 1 Peter 5? And we're looking verse 8 to 9. And when you find it, just give me like a hey, hey. So it's 1 Peter 5. Eight to nine. Says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in your faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. Now, even though it sounds quite, it was also, when I read the last bit, I thought, oh, everyone's going through it. It's not just me. So we're not alone in our struggles, but it's also our job to see others that are struggling and to come alongside them. So what is coming out of me when I'm being pressed? I'm just going to read this one and you can just write it down and you can look it up later, but I'm looking at Luke 6. And I think it's verse 45. A good man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what am I full of? So the drink bottle, I was actually just going to put the water in my mouth and I thought, nah, we won't do that. But take, for example, my drink bottle. If I only come to church on a Sunday and get the word, I'm not going to be very full. I might get up to that line every Sunday. And then during the week, you know, little bits come out, little bits come out, little bits come out. And then by the time I get to the next Sunday, I'm empty again and I need a little bit more filling. But if I was to squeeze this drink bottle now, nothing but hot air comes out. So Pastor Dave spoke last week about us reading our Bibles, getting filled with the Word, that we need to do it for ourselves. I can't rely on him just on a Sunday. I mean, he's good, but we need to provoke ourselves and stir ourselves up. We need to think about his promises, about the goodness of God. We need to be thankful in even the little things. If you need to, write them down. Thank you, Lord, that I woke up this morning. Thank you, God, that I had a coffee because, yes, husband was snoring last night. Thank you, God, that my kids are safe. Look at your list of gratitudes when you're having a hard day and let them encourage you that he is a good God, that he is faithful, that he works things for good. He never leaves us nor forsakes us, that he is for us, not against us, and that he's with us in the valley of the shadow of death, and that he loves us unconditionally. All those things. In John 7, verse 38... 37 to 39. He says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And then I thought, okay, that's cool. I like that, rivers of living water. But I just thought, okay, I just want to look at a different version as well. So I looked in the NIV. So the first one was New King James. I like it. The next one was the NIV. It says, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within him. And then the Amplified says, from his innermost being will flow continually rivers of living water. So it's all about the living waters flowing, right? So as we know, Jesus is, he's speaking about the Holy Spirit that is within us when he's talking about that. So living water heals, it nourishes, it sustains, it brings peace and joy. The living water is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and its communicator is the Holy Ghost. When we drink deeply, then we can become a fountain to others. So instead of just being filled on a Sunday, up to that little line, I'm able to keep adding throughout the week, going a little bit deeper, getting a little bit more filled. And if you think about normal water, it refreshes us, it quenches our thirst, it can cleanse us, and it brings forth life wherever it flows. And that's what we need to be as well, just like the Holy Spirit does for us. So this living water doesn't just quench me, but it needs to overflow out of me so that it can affect others. So I work in a Christian school, and I sometimes think, oh, should I be working, you know, in a non-Christian school? But I love working in a Christian school because I get the opportunity to talk to kids about God. I'm allowed to pray. I'm allowed to read the Bible. And even though, you know, we don't have, the whole community isn't Christian, and that's the cool thing, because I'm speaking to the kids who go home and speak to their parents. But it's a big responsibility. I don't want to show up and show them a grumpy, unloving, unjust version of what I call Christ. I need to be so filled with the living water, listening to the Holy Spirit, who will guide me in my teaching, in my speech, in my actions, in my love, and the discipline for the little ones that he's entrusted with me. So my life is a living testimony of who God is. Almost like a mirror. I'm trying to mirror Christ. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3, it says, "Clearly as you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart." So I'm sometimes the only Jesus that people will get to see. So you got to do it well. And I can't do it if I'm empty. I can only do it successfully if I'm overflowing. In Romans 15, verse 13, it says, "I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." For something to flow out of us, you actually have to, you need to be filled, and then it still needs to keep going. So if I squeezed the bottle and it had a fair bit of water in it, some of it would come out, but then, you know, a bit of hot air would still come out of it as well. So how full am I? Am I just getting filled, you know, to the smallest line possible on a Sunday? And then being thirsty throughout the week and then coming back going, oh, I need more. Am I getting some on Sunday, doing little bits, filling up during the week, so that when something happens or when something squeezes me, you know, some negative stuff will come out, but also some good. That's pretty good. Or do I want to be overflowing, where I'm giving out but also continually being filled? So it's overflowing, and so it's affecting others. But remember, it also needs to be living water. We don't want to be overflowing with negativity and backbiting and harsh words. And it was funny. I think Ken sent me something on Instagram, and the reel wasn't really funny, but at the bottom it said, "Your environment influences the way that you speak." So when we drink deeply, we're able to become a fountain to others. And there's a song in kids' church, and you know, it's, "I got joy like a fountain." I always think of that, and I'm like, yeah, we need to be a fountain, and we need to be overflowing into other people. A good way to test the theory about how full you are: how do you react when little things happen? So a few weeks ago, we were in the city, Emmy and I, and a little girl, and I don't mean little, she was 5. We were waiting in the line of the change room. I was next, and we were waiting there for ages. And this little girl pushed in front of me. And I thought, I'ma get you. And then I thought, you know what, it's fine, she's five, it's not a big deal. So we just, you know, waited and waited and waited a bit longer. And then as we walked out of the shop, and I didn't say anything to Emmy, we just, you know, we both saw what happened and we didn't do anything about it. And Emmy said to me, at least God taught us patience, Mum. And I thought, yep, he did. Thanks, Em. So when I'm gone, what have I left behind for my little ones? For my friends, for my family? Emmy got her hair braided a couple of, not these holidays, but last holidays. And the lady said, would you like some glitter in it? And I said, oh yeah, I love glitter. So she smattered her hair with glitter. And it's like the big chunky bits and the small bits, and it was everywhere. And I thought, oh, I love it. I love glitter. But when I tell you that I'm still finding little bits of sparkle on my wooden kitchen floor, I'm not even exaggerating. Ken and myself the other day, we were on our hands and knees, like trying to pick it off. I don't mind it because I have glitter, but Ken was like, it makes my floor look dirty. So we're trying to, you know, get it off with our fingernails. But I'd rather have the glitter, the sparkle left behind than, you know, a bit of dirt, some holes. So she's left a mark on my kitchen floor for years to come. What am I going to leave behind? When Ken and I were walking in Margaret River, we just went to Marg's recently, and we were walking kind of like in the forest kind of bit, and we saw these huge fallen trees, and I mean huge. Some of them were so big that all they could do was just cut it on this side of the path, cut it on that side of the path, and then drag that bit out because they couldn't get the whole thing out, like huge. And as we were walking, we saw one tree stump, and it's way bigger than I can stretch my arms out to. Huge. And then there was this tiny, spindly, little, one-twigged growing out of it. And we both went, oh, yeah, that's cool. And then as I was doing my word, I went, oh, I like that. Because that stump is there. It's not alive anymore, but the little tree is still able to use it. And it's how big is that little tree going to get because of what it's in? I read a quote recently that got me really thinking. It says, in 100 years, we will all be buried with our relatives and friends. Strangers will live in our homes we fought so hard to build. They will own everything we have today. All our possessions will be unknown, including the car we spent a fortune on. And it will probably be scrap. Our descendants will hardly know who we are, nor will they remember us. I mean... I met my great-great-grandmother, but I don't know her name. I don't know what she looks like. After we die, we will be remembered for a few more years. Then we're just a portrait on someone's bookshelf. And a few years later, our history, photos, and deeds disappear in history's oblivion. We won't even be memories. If we paused one day to analyze these thoughts, perhaps we would understand how ignorant and weak the dream to achieve it all really is. If we could only think about this, surely our approaches, our thoughts would change and we would be different people. Always having more, no time for what's really valuable in life. I'd change all this to live and enjoy the walks I'd never taken, these hugs I didn't give, these kisses for our children and our loved ones, these jokes we didn't have time for. Those would certainly be the most beautiful moments to remember. After all, they did fill our lives with joy. And we waste it day after day with greed and intolerance. And I was like, ow, yeah, it's true. But we don't have to, you know, think, oh, it's all lost. In Psalm 46, verse 10, God says, be still and know that I am God. We have that confidence. We have that hope. So we know that we need to read our Bibles. We know that we need to spend more time with Him so we can be filled with the living water. And I sometimes think it's like having the best gift. It's like having the most expensive new piece of tech, the freshest pair of shoes, a cure for a disease. We have it, but sometimes it just gathers dust in our cupboard. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And I feel like we've really got a theme going on at the moment. Like even last week when Pastor Dave was preaching, it's all about we need to start doing it for ourselves as well. We can't just rely on someone else to be giving it to us. And it's all there. It's all in the Bible. Even if you read it and you go, I don't understand what that means, that's okay. Like it's still going to go in. It's going to plant a seed. And then in a few years' time, you might go, oh, now I know what that was about. That's so cool. Okay, so that's all that I had to say. I'll probably just leave you with this, and I found this really interesting. I said it to Ken this morning. I wasn't sure if I was going to share it. But I saw something recently, and it said, when you feel like the enemy is attacking you, do you come at him with worship music, or do you come at him with the word? We should be coming, you know, against him with the word, because the word is truth. And sometimes some of the worship music that we might listen to is so void of biblical truth that, you know, what are you actually singing? So we can't come to him with just a song sometimes. You have to be coming to him with the truth. And we just have to be reading our word, and the truth is smattered throughout there.
Praise the Lord. So, one of our prayers, Tilly and I's prayer, you stay here, don't leave us here. One of our prayers every night nearly as we walk is, Father, give us a hunger for your word. Because sometimes in your own strength and even in your own mind, we will always have an excuse or a reason. But we need to be activated by the Spirit of God himself for the word. I love the word. I devour the word. Ever since I've been a young man in my faith, I've just loved word. I'm not strong on prayer. My wife's very strong on prayer. I'm getting better. I am getting better. But usually we're bent towards something, either one or the other. But we need to have a balance in our life. And I really believe it's God's desire for us to know his word. Who believes that this morning? So the key is not so much going to the word to get something out of it. That's the wrong motive. The motive of going to the word is, I want to know you. I want to know you, Jesus. That's the motive of the word. And as you get to know him, all the people in the Bible, they become your friends. I know that sounds weird, but it's actually the truth. They actually become your friends. One of the greatest people I know in the Bible, I love in the Bible, is Peter. Peter is a man, by my perception, that speaks before he thinks. I can imagine Peter in heaven, big mouth Peter, telling all the angels what to do before Jesus has even told them what to do. Peter will tell them anyway. Another one would be David. Love the thought of David. I think he was a mighty king. I think he was an awesome leader. I believe he was a great man. Pathetic father. Lousy dad. I'd like to talk to David about that. You know, I'd like to talk to Adam one day. These are the characters you get. You learn. It's not a book. It's a living testimony from Genesis to Revelation that can feed you every day. Because no matter what you're going through, Tamsin said it today. No matter what you're going through, it's all common to us. Everything. The Bible is a book that shows me the good, the bad, and the ugly of everyone in it. But it's all common to me. Amen. I really believe the Holy Ghost wants to reveal that word to us. I believe we need to ask him to reveal that word to us. We're going to pray. We're going to pray and ask God to help us reveal that word to us on his time frame. Some might get this much, some might get this much, some might get more than enough. But the analogy of having that bottle full, so when you're squeezed, do you know everyone's going to be squeezed? No exceptions. You will be squeezed. Trouble will knock. Can I have a little amen? Trouble will knock on your door. Believe me. No one's exempt. When it's squeezed, what's coming out of me? Am I just full of air? Or is there some substance going to come forth? Enough substance when I'm squeezed, life will still come out. He wants to fill the vessel. Amen. Do you believe that? Do you believe your God? Do you think your God only wants a half glass full? Or does he want your cup filled, running over? Amen. Who wants that this morning? Let's stand. I'll pray. Shall I pray? I'll do the prayer. If you're thirsty this morning, I just want you to lift your hands before the Lord. Father, Father, Father. Father, we come before you this morning. We say, God, here we are. We're thirsty to know more of you. We're thirsty to know you, Jesus. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That was the cry of your apostle Paul. That I may know him. Father, we come before you this morning. We ask, Father, no one can reveal your son but you. We want to know him, Father. We want to know him more deeply than what we know him now. Forgive us, Lord, for chasing his hands. Forgive us, Lord, for chasing his stuff. I want to know you and the power of your resurrection. Then that day, Father, we can endure the fellowship of your sufferings, anchored on the word and on the truth. Help me to know you. Reveal your word to me, Holy Spirit. Don't you say you are the great teacher? You will teach me all things. God, help me to break up the fallow ground of my heart to receive your word. We ask in the name of Jesus. We say, here we are this morning, Father. Change me. Change me. That this cup can be filled to overflowing. That when the squeezing, the pressure of life is on, out of me shall come rivers of living waters for the glory of your name and your kingdom. And we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise in Jesus' name. If that's you this morning, you shout an amen to him. Amen. Well, that was great, Tam. So proud of you. Did a good job. Take the word. Use the word. Apply the word. And the word will make you free in Jesus' name. Let's pray now over the food we're going to share together in fellowship. Father, we just ask you to bless the food that we're going to receive. Bless our time of fellowship. Father, bless our communication. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that, Lord, we can be a blessing to you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Please stay for some luncheon together and have a great week in Jesus' name. Amen.